So here it is. Y'all got me today. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to cover a lot of this chapter. There's a few places I'm going to just kind of skip because it's just, it's not that it's not important. It's just things that, just a little description of some on a couple of places that it's like, we'll, for time's sake, we'll skip past a couple of verses, but that's okay. So we're going to start with verse 1. Is everybody there? Ready? Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephesdamim, I think. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And I looked all of that up, and you know how tall that was? 10 feet, 6 inches. That dude was tall. And I imagine he was big, too. So, you know, this wasn't just some little soldier stepping out there and coming out against him. This was a big guy. Going to verse 8, says, and he's, verses in between there is talking about his spear and his sword and his shield and all those things. Verse 8 says, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Isn't that just like the devil? Going to come out, make a lot of noise, intimidate people. And of course, he's going to show himself to be big, you know, like Goliath. Goliath was big. Well, no doubt about that. But the devil tries to show himself to be big also because he wants to intimidate you in whatever it is that you're coming against. Verse 10 says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, if you go back and look at Saul, the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. He wasn't no little guy himself. But he wasn't going to go out against this 10-foot-6 guy, big guy. He's like, nah, you know, and all of Israel was afraid, and they ran from him. Verse 16 says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Still making a noise. Came out there every morning and every evening, and same thing. Send me somebody that's big enough or feels like they're good enough to come out and fight against me, and we'll see what happens from there. No need for all of you to fight. No need for the whole battle. Just somebody come out and take me on. You know, had every right to be proud of himself. I mean, 10-foot-6 tall, and all the weapons and of warfare, and knew how to use them, you know. But then David arrived on the scene. And the soldiers were telling him about Goliath and what Saul had said that would take place. What Saul had told all the men of Israel, the soldiers, said, "The man who can kill this guy, this is what you'll receive." And so going on to verse 23, as he talked with them, as David talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You know, they've been seeing this guy for 40 days, and they're still just as, I mean, none of them have ever gotten up their courage to take a step out. 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up?" Talking to David. "Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" He wanted to know what's going to happen to who, if I go out there and kill him, what's going to happen? "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of Israel, of the living God?" He wanted to know because David was a man of God. Yeah. And many times out there in the wilderness, I'm sure, out there alone with the sheep, he communed with God. He talked with God and communed with him. Verse 27 says, "And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, that was David's oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Making fun of him. "I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Our father sent me down here to see how y'all were doing. You're my brothers, to see how y'all were doing and to bring y'all something." He brought some fruits and whatever all that his father gave him to take to him. And he said, "Here I am and this guy's coming out here. What have I done?" And the next question is where I'm coming from today. This is the title of my message. Is there not a cause? And, many times as we face things in our lives, sometimes we have to look at, I don't want to jump ahead here, I'm afraid of getting ahead of myself, but many times we've got to look and say, what's the reason for this? Why is this coming against me? Why am I facing this battle? No matter what it is in our lives, why am I facing this? And we have to look at that. Verse 32, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." "I'll go out," he told Saul. He said, "I'll go out and fight him." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And true statement. David was not a soldier. He had not been trained to be a soldier. He sure wasn't trained to go out against a 10'6" giant with all the weapons that he had. But here's what David did. He gave Saul some references. You know, it's good to look back sometime and say, hey, but back here, when I went through this situation, God was with me. Amen. And God took care of me.
That's right. Amen.
And so David did the same thing. He gave Saul some references. Verse 34, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. If I can turn my page. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. We're talking about a young man just out there, a youth. That's what Saul called him. You're just a youth. But because his duty was to take care of those sheep, he wasn't going to let a lion and a bear take his father's sheep. So he caught him by the beard and slew him. So 36 says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. He said, hey, God did it for me before. He'll do it for me again. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And that's why. Because David's anger rose up in him. He's like, hey, you don't come against my God. And in one place it said, well, I'm getting ahead again. But that's what the Philistines were doing, was coming against Israel, God's people. David said, moreover, verse 37, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, he accepted the references that he gave. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. I mean, pretty significant that God would just take his word. This being a youth, I can't imagine, I don't know how tall David was or how big he was.
5'7".
Yeah, 5'7" or something like that. That was an average height for Israelites. And going up against a 10'6" guy, why would Saul just say, okay, go. Lord be with you. But I would imagine that the Lord moved in Saul's heart to know that something's going on here. Something's fixing to happen. I don't know what, but something's fixing to take place. So Saul tried to put his armor on David, you know, suited him up with all the breastplate and all the shield and the helmet and, you know, all the things of war, and his sword and everything. And, you know, David hadn't been trained with those things. He knew what they were, but he hadn't been trained in it. He didn't know how to use it. And so David said, no, I can't do that. That's not what I'm accustomed to. I'm not been trained and skilled in using a sword and those things. Besides, it's heavy to me. You know, Saul was a big guy. David was just a youth. Verse 40 says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, David he knew how to use that sling. And the reason he chose smooth stones is because smooth stones will fly true. A jagged stone will go all over the place. But a nice, smooth, round stone, and he knew how to use that sling. When he flung it, he knew where it was going because he'd used it many, many times. He chose those stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know, we have to use, in our situations, we have to use weapons that we're familiar with. And it's like the word. We got to be familiar with this word. And when I say familiar, it's got to be in here. Yes. You can't just, well, this is God's word. We have to know the word and know it correctly. You know, we can carry the sword, which is the word. We can carry it. You can carry it everywhere you go. I've got, you know, and something comes to get you, you can say, I got the sword. Well, but if you don't know what's in this sword, what's in this word, you're just waving a book. You're not going to get anywhere because you don't know how to use it. We've got to put this word in our heart and in our mind so that when we need that word, it comes out. What goes in comes out. You put it in, it'll come out when you need it. And that's not saying necessarily that you have to memorize the whole Bible. That's a lot of words. But if you read it, you'd be surprised if you're reading it every day and are listening to it on your tapes or off your phone or whatever. If you're listening to it and you're reading it, and you're putting it in here, you'd be surprised in a situation how quick those things will come to memory. And you'll think of those things and say, oh, the Lord said, the word says this. And so we've got to put this in our heart and put it in our minds so that we have it when we need it. And that, just like David, he knew how to use that sling. He knew what to do. He knew what kind of stone to use so that he could throw it accurately. If David had tried to go against the giant with the weapons of Saul, he would have been defeated because he didn't know how to use them. He wasn't equipped with it, and especially against a guy that size, it'd be like waving a twig. Yes. I mean, serious. Yes. If you don't know how to use a sword, you know what it is. I can hold a sword. But as far as using it, I don't know how to use a sword. I'd just be hacking away. And, you know. Wouldn't gain anything. I might even run against my opponent, but he's probably going to get me before I can even get, you know. So David probably would have been defeated if he had taken Saul's armor and his weapons. But he knew how to use that sling. Psalms 119 and 11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's a strong scripture. Okay, back to chapter 17, verse 41, says, And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield, went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, made fun of him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. There he is, making noise again. Just spouting off and making noise. Trying to intimidate David. Even though he was just a little guy, I mean, more than likely, Goliath thought, my size should intimidate you to run. You're not running. So, thought, well, I'll spew words at you. Verse 45 says, Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest against me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defieth. This day, David was strong. He said, told him just how it was. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. I mean, he's telling him just what he's going to do.
That's right.
I mean, the Lord was speaking through him. Yes. This is what I'm going to do to you.
That's right. Amen.
And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David was confident because he knew the Lord, and he communed with the Lord, and many times out in the desert or wherever it was that he kept the sheep, he talked to the Lord. That's why he had confidence in the Lord and confidence on what was going to happen. Verse 47 says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Amen.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't messing around. He's like, I'm going to go take care of this. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine and with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He didn't have a sword because he didn't take one with him.
That's right.
51 says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You know, he killed Goliath with his own sword. All the things that Goliath brought with him that he was going to do to David, David hit him with that stone between the eyes, and it said it sunk into his forehead and he fell. But then he finished off the job with Goliath's own sword. He said, I'll just use his sword. Verse 52 says, Then the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even to Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after them. They chased them and slew them and But then as they returned back from chasing after the Philistines, they spoiled their tents. So they got their prizes. They got their all their stuff. They came back by because they chased them away from their stuff, from the Philistines' stuff. And as they came back, they just raided their tents and took what they wanted and took it home. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And as you read on down later on in the story of David, he used that armor and used that sword in later battles. But he had spent time with God, David had, and he knew the battle was the Lord's. The Lord gave Goliath to David.
Yes.
But David just had to go and take the victory. He had already given it to him, but he had to go and take it. The Lord will fight our battles, but he wants us to step out. I was looking also at Joseph. You know, Joseph didn't understand when his brothers sold him into Egypt. I mean, who would? Here your brothers take you and sell you, and here you're shipped off from your family, from your country, into a place that you don't know anything about, with people you don't know anything about. And here you are, put into slavery, and then all these things start happening to you, and it's like, you know how we do. Lord, why is this happening to me? What did I do? All I did was try to be what I'm supposed to be, and here my brothers go and sell me off, send me into Egypt. Well, then he didn't realize what God's plan was. God had a plan in all of this. It wasn't just his brothers being vindictive against him, but God was setting it up. Amen. Because he had a purpose for Joseph being there. It took a while for Joseph to realize that purpose, because he had to go through some things. And it also prepared Joseph to be able to handle the things that were coming in the famine and in the wealth and the famine. You know, God uses whoever he wants and whatever he needs to accomplish his plan. When things, even evil things, come against us, we just need to ask God, Lord, what is your plan? There's got to be a reason I'm going through these things. What's your plan? What's your purpose that I'm going through these things? What is down the road? Show me the steps to take. And more than likely, he's not going to show you the whole thing, because if he shows us everything, we mess it up. You know, we're not. If I knew my end right now, I'd probably mess some things up that he wanted to accomplish between now and then. Yes. Because my will is not the same as his.
That's right.
I want it to be.
Yes.
But still, I'm flesh. This mind is flesh.
Yes.
How many times over the years have Christians sat back and accepted what Satan has thrown at us? Many times over the years. One that really came to mind to me as I was studying and looking through this is Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Yes.
A lot of the younger ones may not know who that is unless you saw it in a book. But she, in 1963, she rallied to take prayer and Bible reading out of the school. You know what Christians did? Basically nothing. You know why? Because we thought it would never happen. Thought, there's no way. This is a Christian nation. There's no way that'll ever happen. And we sat back and allowed it to happen, when we could have rallied together and probably prevented it. But we didn't. Of course, I was, in 1963, I was only 9 years old, so not a whole lot I could have done at 9 years old, but still, our parents and folks that, and I, you know, back then, it was pretty much, on the most part, a Christian nation. I mean, everybody I knew went to church. Even the school teachers didn't give you homework on Wednesday night, because that's church night. And so, but at the same time, here we are, a Christian nation, and we sit back and let something like that happen. You know, and so then when it did happen, we thought, well, Okay. Well, what can we do about it? So we accepted it. Said, well, that's the way it is. Well, I guess we'll just have to learn to live with it. And so we've lived with it since 1963, all these years. Because we allowed it. And same thing happens if we allow things in our lives and not say, no, huh? Lord, what's your plan? What do you want me to do? What can I do in this situation? And there's lots of situations out there that we don't have to accept what Satan throws at us. We don't, because we're sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And He gives us what we need, and it's all right here to come against those things. Lord, what is your plan? Things in our communities. You know, there's things that happen in our communities that it's like, whoa, I can't believe they're doing that. Well, why aren't we taking our place and standing up? I'm not talking about making a huge thing. I'm not talking about a major protest and all this stuff, but sometimes why not? But we can take our place and say, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? How can I come against this? How can we do this? How can we take care of it? Same way in our schools. You know, our school kids are getting things thrown on them, and they face things that is just unspeakable. And we don't have to accept those things. It's time for parents to rise up and say, uh-uh. I don't care what you say, my child is not sitting in that kind of class. That's not what they're here for. They're here to learn what they're supposed to learn, not to hear the junk that Satan's trying to put out for our kids and to indoctrinate our children with. And it doesn't matter what it is, from homosexuality to you name it, whatever. They are pushing things so hard that and then they're turning around and saying, well, you got to accept it. Well, no, I don't. No, I don't. And it's time for us to stand up and not allow those things on our kids. Be aware of what's going on in your school. Be aware of what your children are being taught and the things that are being pushed upon them that you don't have to accept. They can threaten you all they want to, but God's people have rights, just like they have rights. Amen. We do. You know, when the enemy comes at us, we don't need to run from him. We need to run toward him, because we are the winners. Jesus defeated Satan 2,000 years ago. We just have to take the victory and not allow him to take it. Get involved in what's right and pure and holy. Say, Lord, what is your plan? You know, if Abraham hadn't stood before God and pleaded the cause, Lot would have been destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Just because, and the Bible talks about righteous Lot. But if Abraham hadn't stood in the gap, those angels wouldn't have got Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because their duty was going to destroy those two cities. Yes. But Abraham stood in the gap, stood before God, and pleaded, and so God allowed the angels to bring Lot and his wife and his daughters out. Yes. Though his wife turned and looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Right. But we must stand for and be strong for what is right. And I'll go back to, I've been on this chapter for several weeks now. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Ruth, would you come up, please? You know, and if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we stay there and make that our habitation, then all the things that are listed in Psalms 91, and there's lots of promises there, all of those promises are ours. But it's all contingent on verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I just want to dwell in His presence. I want to dwell in that secret place. And that don't mean you got to be weird. That has nothing to do with being, oh. No. We don't have to be, it don't mean you got, it don't mean you got to be weird. But if you're living in that place and living under His, under the shadow of the Almighty, it means we're dwelling with Him and we're allowing Him to lead us and guide us in everything that we do and walking in His way and saying, Lord, what is Your plan today? What would You have for me today? What do I need to do? Where should I need to go? Who do I need to talk to? What do I need to say to them when I talk to them? And I'll ask again, is there not a cause? The cause for us, the cause for David was to defy, was to take this giant out because he was coming against his God. That was David's cause. Our cause is to stand up against the things that Satan is throwing against us and trying to overcome us and trying to destroy us, our families, our children, trying to destroy our church, trying to destroy everything about us. So we have to stand up against, just like David did against the giant. Stand up against him. Run against him. Run toward him. Don't chill back. I just don't think I can do that. Lord, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can, because His word says you can. And if you, again, if you put that word in your heart, and you live it with that word, then you can do whatever it takes to overcome whatever comes against you. Will you stand with me, please? You know, God is so faithful to us. And just, He's always with us. He's always there when we need Him. He's there when we think we don't need Him. But He's there ready. And all you got to do is speak the word. Lord, I need You. Lord, show me what to do. Because we're not, most of the time, we're not that smart to know exactly what steps we're to take. But we can know. Through Him, we can know exactly what He wants and what He takes, what He needs, or what we need. He knows what we need. And He will give us direction if we always lean on Him. Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name, I pray that this word has meant something to someone. I know it has to me in studying it. Lord, I thank You for the word. I thank You, Lord, for what You've given us. I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for the folks that are here today. I thank You, Lord God, for Your blessings and Your love. And Lord, if there's anyone here that needs something from You, Lord Jesus, no matter what it is, Lord, help them to come and receive it today. in Jesus' name. Lord, and I ask you, if there's anyone here that needs prayer, Brother Gary, if y'all would come up, Brother Tony and Becky and Linda, if y'all would come up. If there's anyone here that needs prayer today for anything, God is here to answer it, and he will answer it. He'll give you what the desires of your heart if they're true and honest before him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.